Good morning, as we broadcast from the Minnesota Milk Dairy Conference and Expo, the second and final day today here on Chasm Radio, number one farm radio here in central Minnesota. Second and final day, everything kind of got underway at 9 this morning, goes till about 2. They got some breakout seminars, other events going on, lots of networking, and of course, the trade show. And later on during this hour, we're going to feature the farm family or producer of the year. That's Square Deal Dairy, Blake and Chicchiotti. So we'll learn more about them. We'll talk to, Mr. Wayne Betcher from Minnesota Farmers Union, and also Travis Leonard, who joined us yesterday talking about gypsum. He's the gypsum guy. So we'll talk more about that coming up at about 10:20 here this morning. We kick off our live broadcast. Just a reminder, AgriTalk can be heard at just after 2 o'clock today, a AgriTalk program here on Chasm Radio. And we have a chance for a second day in a row to talk to, Micogen Seeds and Mr. John Erickson joining us. And John, how are you doing today?
Good, Joe. Good morning.
Good.
How are you doing today? Yourself?
Not too bad, you know. It's a nice winter we're having, right?
Hey, this is different from last year at this time. I remember it was white and blowing last year, and today it's a little overcast, but it's comfortable outside.
Things in Wisconsin, I'm sure, wet, huh?
Same over in Wisconsin as well. I drove over yesterday or the day before, and wasn't much difference in the weather. So, I'm wondering when that, I think it's going to change pretty fast, and I think, I'm wondering when that's going to hit. I've got all my stuff ready at home waiting for that big storm. And fortunately, it stayed in Minnesota so far.
Fortunately for you, yeah.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And I suppose a lot of folks, too, are coming off a 2016 planting and harvest season. We had a chance to talk at World Dairy Expo. It was an interesting year for a lot of folks.
It was a very interesting year. You know, it started out... we had some heavy rains early in the year, got some compaction, some replants here and there. But, the bottom line is that a lot of people felt this was one of their best growing years that they've had. And that really transferred all the way into the fall until about that Labor Day when we started getting rain and guys started keeping out of the field. Staying out of the fields, couldn't get into the fields. But I think overall people are really happy with the growing season. We had some exceptional, yields. Some guys had the best yields they've ever had. The silage yields were fantastic. We've had in the 30 tons per acre silage yields. Quality so far is showing up on the testing that we're getting back to be very good. And so I think at the end, I think people were happy with 2016. And now they're starting to look at 2017. We don't stay in harbor much on the previous year. It's look ahead a little bit. So that's kind of where we're at in the field anyway.
Were there certain areas with the Micogen products that people were just really happy about, or something that really did well last year?
Yeah, I think the tonnages on the we have, of course, two lines, the TMF lineup and the BM3 BMR lineup. Both products, depending on what growers are growing, we're really happy with the performance, the tonnage. I've talked to growers at multiple meetings here this fall, and starch formation in the corn was good. We had a warmer year in 2016 than say the last 2 or 3 years, and that allowed the corn to finish. Growers tend to go push that maturity, and when you push that maturity and have a cool year, sometimes you don't allow that corn to finish in the year. This year it finished, and we've got some quality tests coming back that not only with the tonnage, it showed up really well, but the quality tests, quality profiles are really good. We have in the BM3, we've got that, excellent fiber digestibility. We've got starches in the mid 30 percentage. I've actually saw a couple in the 40%, some earlier maturity products, maybe in a little bit later maturity zone, that they had some fantastic starch. And so growers are excited not only to have the fiber digestibility, but also have the energy from the starch, and they're expecting some pretty good milk production this year from their silage.
From the agronomy standpoint, talk about why that starch level, why that rate needs to be up there. Why is that so important?
Well, I think from an agronomy standpoint, it's more of a nutrition standpoint. As we talk about silage, a lot of the growers are looking at the digestibility. As they think about 2017 here, some of the things to consider is looking at how the performance was last year. How's that fiber digestibility? What do they want to get in their silage? And so fiber digestibility is probably number one, NDFD. Number two would be, I should go back and say tonnage seems to be the number one thing, but actually the quality should be the number one. NDFD number two or three then would be the starch. And they like to see that starch complement that fiber digestibility. And this year we've had, like I said, really, really good starch numbers. You know, you take it on a grain side, of course, you know, a warmer season lets the ear fill out more. And that helps a grain grower, grain producer, get more yield that way. So we've had both sides, silage and grain. Guys had really fantastic yields this year. And I think from the silage side, they're going to have good quality. As they think about 2017, those are some of the things to look at is, you know, evaluate the performance from this previous year. And, you know, consider what they want in 2017. Do they want tonnage? Do they want quality? They want a mix of both. They want starch, you know, mix of those three things, which I think most growers do. And now's a good time to sit down and start planning for that.
John Erickson joining us with Micogen Seeds. Now, for the guys who maybe aren't in the Micogen program per se, where do you start off with somebody who's got interest in using those products? Is it soil sampling or what's kind of step one?
Well, I think it really starts with determining what do you want, you know, what type of hybrid do you want to grow. There's differences in hybrids out there. You know, I talk a lot with people about, as you drive down the field or down the road, you see corn in the fields, but you don't realize that all the differences in the hybrids that you see there. And so a lot of those differences are things that growers can't see standing in the field. And by that, I mean differences in fiber digestibility we talked about, differences in lignin, all those things that affect production, milk production in cows, affect intake in cows. So growers got to sit down and think about what do they want. Do they want a high-performing hybrid that's going to help make milk? Do they want something that they can maybe take some swing acres for high-moisture corn, those types of things? And then agronomically, getting back to your question, you know, soil sampling. Yeah, now you start with soil fertility. A lot of these silage focused products take a lot of fertility because you got a lot of stover out there. You need potassium, you need the nitrogen, you need some of the micronutrients. Soil testing is a great place to start, and I would hope that most people are on a program of soil testing every 3 years, at least a third of the farm. Second then is to sit down and with an agronomist, with their trusted advisor, and figure out, you know, if they've decided what type of hybrid they're going to use, is to place that hybrid where it's going to have the chance to perform the best. And, you know, one thing I really harp on is right now, Joe, you know, we're talking December 1st today, right? This time is the time when a decision is made on that hybrid type. That's one of the most important decisions that a grower is going to make in the year, is the hybrid that they plant. And the reason is if they choose a high quality hybrid that's going to make milk, you know, versus if they make the wrong decision, how long is that decision going to impact that dairy? It's going to be at least a year, right? You got to grow it, you got to harvest it, then you feed it. What if you make the wrong decision, and that impacts your dairy for a lot longer than a year? Because then you got to start over, grow something different, wait till that, you know, gets harvested. It's a couple of years. So sitting down right now with somebody to figure out what are my goals on the dairy, you know, what do I want to look at? Do I want quality? Do I want tonnage? Do I want starch? Do I want to be able to take it, you know, for dual purpose type? You know, a lot of our growers that we work with are trying to take those dairies to the next level of milk production. They're going with the BM3 BMR because that's the best silage hybrid in the marketplace. And so sitting down now, figuring that out, that's going to have an impact on the profitability of that dairy for at least a year, 2 years, the decision they make right now. So very important time of the year for growers.
There's two topics you can always talk to a farmer about. That's weather and also prices are low. You know, they can always kind of canoe about that and kick tires. It just goes to show what you said. I mean, it can a hangover effect for a year and a half to 2 years on a bad choice or bad decision.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, I don't, especially now, you make a great point. You know, the prices, it's a challenging time for dairy farmers. Well, you know, if you can increase your income over feed costs, be more efficient with your feed, you know, probably the cheapest feed out there is corn silage. And if you can simply by making a decision on your hybrid selection impact that bottom line on the dairy simply by the decision you make, that has a big impact on the profitability for a year, 2 years down the road. And again, the guy that makes the decision that maybe is not the best decision, he's got to suffer with that for that year or 2 years as well. So we really try at Mycogen to work with growers to help make a good decision. You know, we talk about BM3, BMR. It's not for everybody, but it's for good managers, you know, those high-producing dairy cows that, you know, want to take it to the next level in milk production. That's where BM3, Mycogen BM3, BMR has a place in the dairy industry. And we see that every year. Our growth is phenomenal with that product right now.
It so fits into one of the seminars yesterday. They were talking, worry about the things you can control, John. And this is one of those things you can control when it comes to inputs and what kind of seed you use. And then after that, well, it's out of your hands.
Yeah, it is. It's something growers can really do control, can control. And give you an example, we have many cases where guys, you know, make a decision to try some BM3, BMR, but they don't want to jump in, you know, all at once. And they'll maybe do a trial, a three-month feeding trial. And they get into feeding the BM3, BMR, and they see that milk bump that we always talk about. It's 5-6 pounds, depending on, you know, the dairy. And, you know, they're really happy, but they're not quite ready to say it's all the BM3, BMR, or something else maybe they've done on the dairy. But when they run out of that three-month trial and they go back down the other way, all of a sudden, then they're mad at us because we didn't tell them to plant the whole thing. You know, there's mm-hmm. enough. So, I mean, those are just examples that we have of growers where they've tried things. And that is an example of the impact on that, you know, that 5 or 6 pounds of milk to a dairy. If that can hold all the way throughout the year, which with the BMR it does, that's a big impact on the profitability.
And, John, there's reps all over central Minnesota, statewide, the upper Midwest, online. A lot of avenues to get the ball rolling.
Oh, yeah. In this area, you know, we've got our sales rep is Eric Keel. We also have Claire Oman, sales rep, over in the Alex area. And then we've got a nice dealer network, too, of fully trained people to help growers. So, and I cover this area for Mycogen as the commercial agronomist support person. We have John Anderson, I think you talked with yesterday, of our nutrition group. And, you know, we want the people to have a good experience with the BM3, BMR. That's what we're here for. And again, you know, right now is that time when hopefully you're talking, thinking about it. Growers are talking to their seed suppliers, you know, thinking about their decisions for 2017.
Earlier this morning, I was looking up the definition of agronomist, and it said expert football picker guy, purple Vikings football fan. That's all wrong, isn't it?
Yeah, well, at least, you know, most people that you know, ask what's an, when I tell them I'm an agronomist, they say, what's that? So actually that definition that you just went through is pretty good. You got colors wrong.
Yeah,
it should be probably green and gold and red and white. But you're close.
Yeah, the red and white team won last week. I was getting a little snippy there at halftime, but it came back around again.
Well, you know, we do take conversions from purple and white to green and gold. We do conversions here at the Dairy Show if you want to convert to be a Packer fan or a Badger fan.
There's weekly meetings for that too, I assume. John, we appreciate your time as always.
Joe, good talk to you. Good talking to you, and certainly appreciate having the chance to kind of think about 2017. Hopefully get some growers thinking here from our talk today about what's going on for 17 and get off to a good start.
And the time is now. Get the ball rolling. Coming up on 10:20, we'll take a break. We'll send it back to the studios. We'll come back in a few minutes. More from the Minnesota Milk Dairy Conference and Expo in St. Cloud.